Hello, hello.
Welcome to Under the Olive Tree. Today I want to talk about something kind of weird, I guess. But have you ever noticed how things in nature seem to move in a certain direction, kind of consistently? And, you know, we love to notice patterns here. So I'll give you one. I'll give you an example. The sun rises from the east and it sets in the west. So it has a direction. It's moving from right to left and then back again. At least that's how it looks, right? It's moving from right to left. As the earth travels around the sun, it's going around it counterclockwise. I mean, that counterclockwise movement is considered right to left and then back again. Even the way that it spins is counterclockwise, which is again considered right to left. When you look up in the sky and you see the moon, and it's a new moon, the whole thing is black, and a little bit of it cracks the next night, and the first thing you see, it cracks on which side? On the right side. And as the month comes to the end, you know, it closes off on the left and back again. It's very interesting. Even it said, like, if you do like a time lapse of the sky, sometimes I think it's supposed to look like where the stars move across the sky from right to left. I don't know, I didn't look into that one, but the other ones for sure. So I just find that really cool, that everything seems to have this sense of direction to it. And if you notice, like, there's a lot of ancient languages actually that adopt this trend of moving things from right to left. Like Arabic is like one of them, Aramaic, Hebrew. These languages, I mean, it's interesting how they seem to have been in tune with nature and the world that was around them. You know, so it kind of puts a little bit more of a spin on, you know, sometimes we think that people from the past or people in the middle of a desert, they're not. I don't know. Like, what are you going to know? Like, you're just some in the middle of a desert 1,000 years ago. But interestingly enough, I mean, they were astronomers, they were philosophers, they established law. Even the second Khalifa of Islam, like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he's the one who established welfare and stipends for soldiers. I mean, these aren't just some desert people, right? They're very, very intelligent. They're very, very in tune with nature, and they don't really fight against it. They use it, which is very interesting, because, you know, so many people were traveling using the stars. They would observe the stars at night and make maps, name them. I mean, these people were very, very connected. Even that's how they decide, like, oh, it's the start of a new month, because you go out looking for the moon. It's very interesting to think that even in Islam, there's a big emphasis on doing things with your right hand first, then. You know, try to put your right foot forward first. You know, obviously it's okay to be a lefty, no problem. But in the way that you move, even, kind of like, you know, flow with nature, emphasis. And that's one of the things I love about Islam so much, because it's very nature heavy. It encourages a person to go and look at the world and the way that stars look and move and the planets move. Even the Quran talks about how babies are formed in the womb of a mother. So even internally, like, it talks about biology, it's talking about chemistry, it's talking about physics, it's talking about astronomy. Now, the Quran is not a science book, obviously, but it has all of these things in it. So it just kind of bothers me sometimes when people are like, oh, science or science or belief in God. You know, I won't say religion because, you know, we're not heavy on religion. We're more heavy on truth. And the truth is that there's one God, and that science doesn't need to go against that. They actually, it goes hand in hand. In fact, God has encouraged you to look into science. The more you learn, in fact, the more you'll probably see that everything is interconnected, and that interconnection in and of itself is that harmony, that beauty, that depth, that unknown, the mystery, the intrigue. I mean, we're talking about a lover, right? We're talking about a love letter right there. And that's the whole idea. You recognize your maker in the depth of what he's created. And everything is so deep. Even down to like, just like atoms. Atoms are, they can be broken down even more. Plants, animals, life, all around us. It's so incredibly complex. And the more you look into it, the more complex it becomes. So Islam is very in tune with nature, as it should be, as all of us should be. We should see that we're not in competition with nature. In fact, it's actually a circle of life. It's the circle of life. But there's harmony, there's balance, there's beauty. Even in the Quran, like again and again, God talks about how he sent down rain. It's very interesting to think that rain, water is actually not native to earth. Look into that. Don't just take my word for it. Water is not something that the earth just sort of existed with. Water is alien to this planet. And in the Quran, God says he sent down water. And that if he didn't, then who would? Now, the Quran is not a science book, but it's knowledge passed on to us from a man living in the middle of the desert 1500 years ago who couldn't read or write. And he's telling us about how rain and water was sent down to this earth. Very interesting. Even if you look at the daily life of a Muslim person, right, they pray about 5 times a day. And all of these prayers are actually in line. Like, I know some of my coworkers or my friends, they're like, oh, you're praying again? Like, in the winter, it's so funny because they're all so stacked up. The reason why that happens is because a prayer throughout the day, it's lined up with the way that the day rolls. What that means is there's a prayer at before sunrise. There's a prayer at noon as the sun starts to decline. Then there's a prayer in the evening. Then there's a prayer after sunset. Then there's a prayer at night. And then it starts all over again. So again, you see this sort of emphasis on being in line with nature, being in line with the way that the world is flowing around you. So Islam is very nature heavy. Islam is very science heavy. God is encouraging you to be in tune with nature. God is encouraging you to recognize and connect with the things around you. Right? Everything vibrates. And you vibrate. And your vibration should be in harmony with the harmony that's going on in the universe. And it's when it doesn't that there's chaos or there's turmoil or, you know, you feel some, all of your chemicals are imbalanced. It's because you're not vibrating right. You're not in tune with the right things. Your day is going in the wrong direction. You know, you're not lining things up right. So you feel some type of way even though you have everything you need, everything you want. One of the earliest and one of my most favorite examples of this is the prophet Abraham. A prophet, peace be upon him, that everybody agrees on. And the beautiful thing about him is that at the time when he was alive, there was nobody else that believed in one God except for him. And the way he even came to that conclusion was by observing nature, because he didn't have access to, like, there was no religious scripture, there was no like Jehovah Witness knocking on at his door being like, you know. No, I don't mean to poke any fun at anybody, but there was nothing like that going on at the time. Everybody on the planet was essentially an idol worshiper or something else. So he goes out in nature and he's looking at the stars and he's looking at the moon and he's looking at the sun, and he notices that all of these things are part of a system, the system of night and day. They're subjugated to something. They're being controlled essentially by something. Just by watching them, he can see that they're being controlled by like gravity or whatever it is, that they're a part of the system, and therefore they cannot be God. The sun can't be because it's subjugated. The moon can't be because it's subjugated. And so God has to exist outside of this time and this space, because even that time is relative, right? Time on earth is like you spin around in the earth spins around once in 24 hours. That's a day. It spins around the sun once. That's a year. The moon spins around the earth. That's a month. So time is relative to these like celestial bodies moving around, doing their thing. And if I lived on another planet, then all of a sudden time would be different. But it's because I live here that time is like this. So the prophet Abraham is like, all of this is relative. So God, the eternal, would have to exist outside of time and space. And because there's harmony in it, then there can be no equal. Because as we know, anything that's equal, they always are in competition. Right? When you have two equal countries, they're in competition. Two equal boxers, rivals, basketball teams, whoever. Whatever. You're in competition. Your rivals. But there is no competition in the universe. You can see it. There's harmony in everything. There's balance in everything. Even if you zoom out far enough into that, this sort of abyss of background space radiation, you can calculate two random spaces of it, and the radiation levels are essentially almost the same. So far apart from each other. How? There's balance. There's balance. Islam is in tune with science. Science is in tune with Islam, in fact, I should say. Science is a creation of God. And rightfully so. Why? Because God said himself that he is the most merciful. And he's the one who created us. And me, as a human being, I know myself. I'm very curious, kitty. I need to know about everything. I need to know about everything that's happening everywhere all of the time. I'm so chismosa. Chismoso. But, I mean, that's how human beings are. That's how human nature is. We need to know about stuff. Right? It's not enough for us to just see rain falling from the sky. We have to understand why or how. There's people that spend their whole lives in pursuit answering one question. They latch on to one thing, like our boy, like we have Gregor Mendel, who, you know, he had these plants that crossbred and they developed new colored plants. So he goes down this rabbit hole of genetics, and next thing you know, that's like what he spends the rest of his life on. You know, he didn't intend that initially. That happened by accident. Human beings, by nature, are curious individuals. And so, there's a system to things. You know, God created reasons for like there's a reason for why it rains. Like, it's not just like randomly rain falling out of the sky. You know, there's a water cycle. That system, those extra steps are there so that me and you can understand it and make sense of it. And so then we don't go crazy trying to figure it out and it doesn't make any sense. Anybody who does that kind of deep science work will tell you that, you know, there's things that keep them up at night because they can't figure it out. That's human nature. And thus science. Right? We're able to understand the world around us through it. We're able to test and hypothesize and theorize and, you know, come to conclusions because of it. So in fact, it is a tool. And it's crazy to me that so many people use this tool and then all of a sudden it makes them like further from God. And it's like, just because you can understand why something is happening or how something is happening doesn't mean you're the one who's making it happen. But you talk about it like you are. Just because you know about it, I mean, damn. None of us are that special. Like, you know about it. It's fascinating. People know about the statistics of how slim to none the chances of me and you existing are. And they're still like, you know, no God, I guess. What? The fact that you exist, that I exist, is probably proof enough. Because we shouldn't. That's how low the chances of us existing are. We're nobodies. I'm nobody. But science and God, it's like, you know, it's all just a means to reach the same destination. And the more you look into it, the closer you will become, and the more you'll develop this sort of sixth sense. Like, you feel it in your heart. Like, you can't see it with your eyes, but you see something, and your heart translates that information, not your brain. And you're like, something is telling me something here. You can't help but listen. That's okay. Do it. Listen. Pay attention. Notice. In any case, I'll leave you with this much. Is that science itself is a tool. That's kind of, I guess, the main juice of everything that I'm trying to say. That even the Quran and God encourages you to recognize physics and the laws of how everything is created in precise measure. And that you have these constants that you can rely on, because that is an extension of God's mercy. And it should make us appreciate. And that's all. You know, science itself is there to help us connect and relate and appreciate. So, hopefully that made you think. And tune in again next time. Bye.